Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
No matter how cranky I might get at traffic or how much road rage I may occasionally have, though I can neither confirm nor deny that rumor, my day, my night, my commute can't compare to the agony of defeat for the Arizona Wildcats. Wowzers, if you did not stay up for the game between Buffalo and Arizona, which actually was a 2-point game at halftime. If you're just waking up on this Friday morning, good morning to you. Boy, did you miss a second half for the ages for the Buffalo Bulls. I got to be really careful there. But I love the fact that these last couple months have been fantastic for Buffalo area sports fans. First, you have the Buffalo Bills ending their playoff drought that stretched back to the previous century. They finally get into the postseason for the first time since 1999. And we all remember the drama of that, right? Because they had to wait and watch the Bengals stun the Ravens in a game that was finishing later in week 17. So that's Buffalo Bills football. The Buffalo Bulls were taking on a national championship favorite in the first game of the NCAA tournament. And Arizona, of course, has been through the ringer the last couple of weeks. Sean Miller briefly being off the sidelines. The report from ESPN that he'd been caught talking about paying one of his players, one of his star players, to come play for the Wildcats. He gets reinstated, DeAndre Ayton gets cleared, and they move forward. And they've got an incredible class coming in, but it starts to break up a little bit, right? Because families don't want their kids going to a place that might face NCAA sanctions. And there's this cloud of uncertainty. But I got to tell you, I heard from more than one person, Arizona is going to thumb its nose. That's my paraphrasing. Arizona is going to thumb its nose at the NCAA and run to the championship. And I mean, the first game, right? It's a 4-13 matchup. It's Buffalo. Buffalo's never won a game in the NCAA tournament, except 13 is the new 12.
Four court right, Jordan, a dribble handoff. Left of the circle, Trey for Buffalo is good. Another one for C.J. Massenburg. His fourth triple of this game, 52-48, Buffalo, 15:50 to go. Jordan drive and kick, three for Perkins is flat, but good. He hit the front of the rim. It bounced off the top of the backboard, and everything's coming up Buffalo. 75-58 the Bulls. Who would have thought Buffalo would play keep away from Arizona? Jump feed left wing. Three for Perkins is cash. What a capper for the Bulls. 86-64, 1:48 to go. Tomorrow morning, for the first time in NCAA tournament history, all of America will be talking about the Buffalo Bulls, their first ever NCAA tournament win, 89-68, in a mammoth upset against Arizona.
Touchdown, Buffalo!
Jason Benetti with the calls on the Westwood One Radio Network. He captured it perfectly. I love that line. Everything is coming up Buffalo. And maybe it is.
Everything's coming up Buffalo.
Bright days ahead for the Buffalo Bills. And this is certainly a bright week for the Buffalo Bulls. And yes, all of America is talking about it on this Friday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You know me, I love the alliteration. So I couldn't help but think about this as it was happening, as it was playing out. And it was a slow burn. Let's be honest here. Arizona got outscored 49-30 in the second half. This turned into a blowout. It was a 2-point game at the half, but you had this weird, unsettled feeling that Arizona just didn't look right and then got blitzed in the second half. So the Buffalo Bulls are bracket busters. I know, I'm the only one who finds myself amusing. On this Friday morning, and many of you are sending me your hashtag Facepalm Friday tweets about how you had Arizona picked pretty far in the tournament in your bracket, or producer Tom had Arizona picked to win the national championship. I feel bad. By the time we get to next weekend, Tom, I'll forget completely and I'll never bring it up again.
Sure.
I thought he was kidding, but he wasn't. He actually did have Arizona going all the way to the championship. He's not alone. According to CBSSports.com, of all the hundreds of thousands of brackets that were submitted, 4% of you had Arizona winning the national title. And on that note, like we said, hashtag Facepalm Friday. But as bad as your bracket looks, it's not as bad as how Sean Miller and Arizona feels today, because all five of those starters are gone. They're all departing for the NBA, and Sean Miller may not survive the fallout from the FBI investigation. We don't have a complete picture yet. So there are much bigger problems than just losing the first game of the NCAA tournament, though that certainly exacerbated the situation. So good morning to you, unless you're an Arizona fan, and that's probably not a good morning. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Some of you sending me your Facepalm Friday tweets, which I appreciate. And then also we're asking you your favorite moment of the first full day of the tournament. It was chock full from start to finish. The very first game of the tournament, the first round, because the first four is no longer the first round, according to the NCAA, they have rules, you know. We had an overtime game, the very first one. And then we had a buzzer beater. And then we had a layup with a second to go. And we had some awesome finishes, too. So plenty to choose from. Let's hope Friday is a repeat of that. But also find us on our Facebook page or our phone number, 855-212-4227. Did someone say buzzer beater? Oh, yeah. Game between Loyola Chicago and Miami. All right, so another one of those double-digit seeds that, by the way, hadn't been in the tournament since 1985. Loyola Chicago hustling, and I mean hustling and hustling up and down the court. And Miami, that looked like it had put itself in position for a win, finally. Jim Larrañaga's team thought they might squeeze by, and you know they would have. If they had made free throws, if the Canes had made their free throws in that final minute, they probably would have. Here's the scenario. Miami up 62-61. Has the potential for a pair of free throws. It's a 1-1, but it's a missed free throw with 9 seconds to go. And I shall allow Ryan Radke to pick up the play-by-play.
Here comes Loyola, a chance to win it. Towns into the front court. On the left wing, top to Ingram, 3 for the win. Good! He made it! He made it as the buzzer expires. The Loyola players storm off their bench. They're mobbing their teammate. What a shot to win it! 64-62 Loyola. And the Ramblers will move on.
I've been saying all, you know, last week when people have been asking me how does it feel to get to the tournament, and I've been saying, you know, this is, you know, as a kid, you know, this is what you grow up seeing, you know, hoping that you can be in that moment. So, you know, for me to be in this position with these guys, with this coaching staff, you know, I wouldn't want any other way, and I'm just obviously blessed to hit that shot, and I'm happy we can get on to advance to Tennessee.
The voice of Dante Ingram, welcome to March Madness. Wowzers. So with 9 seconds to go, Miami misses a free throw, and it's a really smart call from head coach Porter Moser not to stop play and draw something up. Instead, it's a guard who gets the rebound, tosses a perfect outlet pass. It's something you practice every single day. Rebound, outlet, rebound, outlet, rebound, outlet. I can still see the drills in my head and hear my coaches yelling at us, rebound, outlet. We had to yell it. So a guard grabs the rebound, outlets to someone who's already out on the wing. Marcus Towns is the outlet. He pushes the ball up the court. He draws the defense And you know what he hears? I don't know how he hears it because time is running out and it's crazy atmosphere. He hears Ingram yelling, Towns! He said he heard him very clearly. So he passes the ball to his open teammate. Boom. And the Ramblers, who were the 1963 men's basketball champions before it was the NCAA tournament. It was something else. But they were the champs in 1963. They get their first NCAA win since 1985. I love this stuff. The fresh blood all over the place. Of course, for Miami, if you haven't seen the snapshot of James Larrañaga, who's the head coach of Miami, standing in front of his bench as the ball, the three-pointer, goes through the hoop, he's got both hands up on his head, so on either side of his head. And then behind him, presumably a staffer, you know, who's right behind the bench, or maybe it's a close fan or a parent. I mean, it's literally right behind the bench. And he's got his hands buried in his palms. His hands were buried in his, his face was buried in his hands. And so I couldn't help but think of Face Palm Friday. So yeah, it's always the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And especially when it comes down to a buzzer beater, or how about, this wasn't quite a buzzer beater, but it was an incredible moment for maybe the best individual performer on Thursday. It did come down to a shot with a second to go.
Now Gray between the circles. He's calling off the screen. He wants to do this by himself. 14 to shoot. He'll pull a three. It's in the air and he got it. He ties his career high with 37 and puts Houston back in front. 5 seconds. Gray starts to go. Crosses over. Drives. Leans in. Scores it. He flipped it up and in off the window. 1 second remaining. Timeout San Diego State. Houston leads by two.
Rob Gray, senior guard for the University of Houston, 39 points for a new career high. Not only a triple in the final minute, but then the driving layup to earn the W. And this was, you want to talk about a finish that would make your head spin. This game went back and forth, pretty amazing to watch Houston and San Diego State just in those final 2 minutes, even if you didn't watch the rest of the game, to see them trade buckets the way they did and the lead changed hands a couple of times. It was pretty awesome. So Rob Gray, another guy that you may hear his name on Friday, Dante Ingram with the buzzer beater for Loyola Chicago, and then Rob Gray with a driving layup, a second to go, and the Houston Cougars get their first win in the big dance since 1984. I mean, this history, there's history all over the place in the first few days of March Madness, and it's been absolutely nutty. Lots of other stuff that stands out to me. I'm sure it does to you as well. Gonzaga had to rally late. Keenan Evans had to put Texas Tech on his back. How about Michigan starting out without a bucket, without a point for the first 5 minutes of its battle with Montana? In fact, the Grizzlies go up 10-0 against John Beilein's crew, the Big Ten champs who hadn't played in 11 days. Do you think that maybe had something to do with it? They sure look rusty. They just look like they were out of sync. And they couldn't score to save their lives early on, not to mention there were multiple turnovers. So the Grizzlies build this 10-0 lead. But then, when you can't score, what do? You focus on the other parts of the game. And Michigan certainly did that. The Wolverines buckled down on defense and actually held Montana 10 minutes without a point in the second half. And then, of course, they found their stride offensively. So pretty amazing. They go down 10-0 in the first 5 minutes, but then come back to win by double figures. And their defense was astounding in the second half. So a lot that would stand out to me, but I don't want to steal all the thunder. So what about you? And it's a Facepalm Friday, so admit it. If your bracket is completely busted, that's fine. Misery loves company. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Right corner three for Robinson is way too strong over everything, but the rebound comes down to Russell. Bounce pass inside. Langevin hits on the runner in the lane. Matthews, dribble still alive, steps into a three-pointer. It's good from the top. E.C. Matthews drains another huge three. 5-point lead for Rhode Island. Off the inbound, Oklahoma trying for the steal, but time is going to run out on the Sooners. And Rhode Island with a big push in overtime, will advance to Saturday with an 83-78 win over Oklahoma.
Just a thrilling game to be a part of the Thursday tip-off. You know, Big 12 Oklahoma, big Power 5 school with, you know, one of the most, you know, ballyhooed players in the country this year. It's just such a exciting matchup. It was a thrilling game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love that Danny Hurley used ballyhooed to talk about Trae Young. How much you want to bet that's the first time anyone has said ballyhooed in reference to Trae Young all season long? Danny Hurley, the brother of Bobby Hurley. And that was the way we started the tournament, with an overtime victory for Rhodey. Little Rhodey, who's won back-to-back tournament games in these two seasons, these last two seasons now. So URI holds off Oklahoma in OT. Scott Graham with the call on the Westwood One Radio Network, and we were off and running. Thanks so much for tuning in After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money by switching to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at geico.com. Al is listening in Las Vegas. Al, welcome to After Hours.
Amy, it's a pleasure to talk with you. That was a great, great coverage on Arizona. You know, all the folks at ESPN were talking about how they were underrated and underseeded, and boom, they get knocked out in the first round. It was unbelievable. But
you sound gleeful about that. Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about Las Vegas and how it is so much fun to live here during March Madness. I was actually just strolling around the sport books, and all of a sudden you start talking with people, and you're automatically part of the community. It's just unbelievable. Just the whole atmosphere and the aura about March Madness in this town. It's fabulous.
For sure. I mean, a lot of people go there so they can bet legally, or just so they can be in a situation where they can watch all these games at once and kind of hang out in a hub where college basketball is king. So, yeah, I have a lot of friends, actually, who make that trip annually. And it's kind of funny, too, Al. I don't know if you heard this. So I used it earlier in the week, but last year's NCAA tournament had $10.4 billion, with a B, dollars wagered on it, and $10.1 billion of that was illegal bets, which means the rest all happened in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was just strolling into one particular sports book, and it was only a few minutes left in the Loyola game, and it was amazing. All these guys had taken Loyola, and the place exploded when you had the great interview played with the player who shot the three-pointer with about a second left to
Dante Ingram.
Yes, it was an awesome interview, and it was just so great to kind of celebrate this collectively over there as well. So, you know, I would also let you know that what's really fascinating about Las Vegas is that we have four of the conferences having their tournaments here in our town a week earlier. So when you're mentioning these teams, it's kind of cool. Like, for example, San Diego State, they had a hell of a tournament. They won the Mountain West Conference last week. They actually upset a very talented Nevada squad in the semifinal. And it was kind of disappointing to see San Diego State go down to Houston. And I saw that first round matchup, and I saw Houston play, I think, Cincinnati last week. I was saying these are two nasty teams playing each other, and it turned out to be a hell of a game in the first round.
Yeah, it did. That finish was awesome. Rob Gray with a couple of big buckets, but for, you know, for a while it was San Diego State and Houston kind of neck and neck there. And I mean, I think Houston had pulled away. I think had a 13-point lead in the second half, but San Diego State was able to come back, and so it was good. And it was interesting that you mentioned that, because we had Eric Musselman on the show to talk about Nevada, and they had gotten squashed in the semifinals of their conference tournament San Diego State. And so, that's kind of how they ended, but they certainly would have liked to be able to take that, you know, move that forward, but it just didn't work that way.
And I will tell you, those Gonzaga fans are very serious. They packed the Orleans Arena every game of that West Coast Conference tournament.
Awesome.
And talking about Loyola, they actually, believe it or not, Amy, struggled against a kind of a scrappy Loyola Marymount team. They were actually tied, or it was only 1 point game at halftime.
I believe it. I mean, not every game can be pretty. Not every game is easy, for sure. I mean, we had some major teams struggle on Thursday in the first day of the tournament too. But thank you so much, Al. I'm glad you're enjoying Vegas and all of the excitement over March Madness.
Yes, and also I want to just let you know on just departing here. You wrote a really great little post about visiting your grandmother during the Super Bowl weekend. I just enjoyed reading that. It was very well written. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you, Al. I appreciate that. Yes, it was the motivation to get through Super Bowl week. And now Grammy Helen is 2 weeks away from 96 years old. So I'm proud of her. I like to write about her and talk about her whenever I can. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish is in studio. It's a Facepalm Friday, and we've saved a couple of juicy tweets just because Andrew's here, and I like to try to make him laugh. He's generally kind of cranky this early in the morning. It's early for him, and so if I can inject a little mirth on a Friday, well, you know, we try to do it.
The fickle, the fraudulent, the frankly false.
Well, I was going to call you J-Lo, back to A-Lo.
Looking back on the feedback faux pas of the week, it's time for Facepalm Friday.
Okay, a couple of tweets to pass along. As the voice god says, it's a Facepalm Friday. And this one came, I am not exaggerating, 3 hours ago. Okay. I just got this tweet 3 hours ago from Lynn John. She would like to know, maybe you can answer her question, mm-hmm. Andrew. Can I still make my basketball picks?
I mean, theoretically, you can make them whenever you want, Lynn. The question really is, will anyone accept them and grade them? And I think the answer to that is no.
I mean, I guess you can. That would be like allowing Tom to start over since he picked Arizona all the way to the championship game.
See, this is why Tom and I are best friends, because I
proudly
did too.
Yeah, I don't even regret it either.
No, I have no second thoughts. I mean, shame on all of them.
Maybe you should have let Lynn make your picks for you.
Well, what would Lynn pick now?
I don't know.
Is the question. Because I'd still pick Arizona.
Me too.
But she wanted to know where the link was so she could make her picks.
Oh. Yeah.
Good stuff right
about
there.
About that, Lynn.
Also, this is from a friend of mine on Facebook, and she knows that I work in the business, so she says, her name's Becky, I'm literally winning my March Madness bracket right now, and my name is, quote, I know nothing. I asked my husband if I should choose based on the team colors or what places I want to visit.
I don't know things.
This is what happens during March Madness. We had another real quick Facepalm Friday tweet from a listener who said, this is Tommy, my 4-year-old twins each filled out a bracket. They both have more correct picks than I do.
I mean, there really is something to the more you know, the worse you are.
Yes.
At this. Like when my wife picks based on name, like Stephen F. Austin, that'll help. Now, it didn't help her this year, but it's helped her in the past because was it last year they beat West Virginia? You know, so that's sometimes actually knowing things is counterproductive. Yeah.
Yes. A guy called us up yesterday and said that his wife put Alabama and Ohio State in the championship because they're both good football schools, which certainly worked in the first round because they both advanced.
I mean, the highlights are playing now. I had this game on Kentucky-Davidson last night. My wife came into the room and was Davidson. And it was, the game was tight. And he goes, they're doing pretty well for a school I've never heard of before. I'm like, yes, because you're the arbiter of basketball success. So, yeah, I mean, maybe next year, I say this every year, but maybe it's time to just not do picks and save myself the embarrassment.
No, it's more fun that way.
I don't know.
Don't
that
you
it
think
is,
people
Amy.
Wear like a badge of honor? Oh, my God, my bracket looks so terrible after 2 games. I feel like people want to brag about it.
I mean, it's just, but it's about me in my own little world where I think I should know some of these things. Like, why did I think Wright State was going to beat Tennessee? Who makes that choice?
Oh, my God, what just happened?
Now, I got Loyola right at the last possible second, but who?
Yes.
And I wanted to pick Davidson and realized that they weren't going to win for the exact reason that they didn't win last night. But Wright State and Arizona
Well,
Bonaventure?
This isn't going to make you feel better.
Shame on me.
This isn't going to make you feel better. Jay from Atlanta gets up early in the morning. He called us to tell us that he went to bed at halftime of Buffalo, Arizona because it was too stressful for him because he had Arizona picked to the championship, right?
Yeah.
So then he wakes up this morning. He realized Buffalo has blown out Arizona. He checks his bracket, and he somehow accidentally put in Buffalo and not Arizona.
I don't believe that.
Oh, you think he's lying?
Seems a little convenient.
No, I feel
like, say it,
I feel like with the autofills, or I don't know, who knows. The computers can be a little confusing if you don't save.
Yeah, I did have a battle with the CBS Sports interface a couple of times. But accidentally picking Buffalo?
Take a wild guess. Yeah. How many CBSSports.com brackets picked Arizona as the champ? And that would include apparently you two.
No, I had him in the game losing to Michigan State.
Then
we'll probably lose today.
You're in the 11th. You're 11% of you picked Arizona in the championship game. But guess how many people picked Arizona to win it?
So obviously less than 11%, I would think. 8%.
4%.
Okay.
I'm not a science computer.
I wonder what the highest ones are. I'm curious. I'm sure a lot of people pick Duke.
I'm sure a lot of people pick North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas,
Michigan State. I don't know about Kentucky this year.
No, I would think Michigan State, Duke, and Nova were the three biggest ones.
There you go. Yeah.
What about Virginia?
I would have said for sure, I don't know how many people overreacted to Hunter's injury, as I did,
people
losing to Arizona.
Do it based on mascots. They don't know some guy got injured.
Some people do.
All right. Not everybody.
Not everybody.
All right.
Not Lynn or probably
Lynn, who's still
Jay
waiting
in Atlanta
to pick out her picks. Or Isaac. 855-212-4227. That's our number. Coming up, we've got some football news as well, of course. Had to share the center ring of the circus on Thursday with Facepalm Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
LeBron turns around. A screen, and he hammers home a dunk over Nurkic to give the Cavaliers a 15-14 lead. Oh, my goodness. LeBron got a high screen angle toward the basket and just crushed one on top of the seven-footer.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you have not seen the video from the backboard cam of LeBron James elevating and slamming home that dunk, as you hear John Michaels say, over the top of the seven-footer, crushing it. This was probably the only thing that could tear people away from March Madness last night, is that the Cleveland Cavaliers were on the road at the Portland Trail Blazers, a game that Portland eventually won, but this all of a sudden took over Twitter and social media. The quick videos, the GIFs, and then this still shot of LeBron up in the air, again, courtesy of the backboard cam, about to just negate Nurkic. It was like, you could watch it over and over. It's kind of mesmerizing. But as I say, Portland ended up winning the game. And so the Blazers have now claimed 11 consecutive victims. Portland Trail Blazers win streak is alive and well. And while more than likely you're not going to see the Blazers catch up to the Rockets or the Warriors in the West, they have put some distance between themselves and the fourth place team. So the Blazers have won 11 consecutive games. The Thunder now on the rise. They've won 4 in a row. And the Jazz have won 8 in a row. It's like roll the dice. Whoever happens to get hot at the end of the Western Conference regular season is going to be the team that kind of moves up there, because they're bunched all together in the standings. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, do yourself a favor and find a video of that dunk, or even just the still shot from above, high above the heavens. But we're getting back to March Madness, of course. This game preview is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. NCAA March Madness is filled with surprising Cinderella stories, so best to go with the sure thing. That's B-dubs, the official hangout for March Madness, where you won't miss a moment. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. The new commercial is kind of funny. A couple of guys sitting at one of those high top tables, and a friend is calling because he locked his wallet in his buddy's house, and he attempts to break in because the buddy won't answer the phone because he's busy watching March Madness. And so not only does he break in, then he gets thrown in jail, and his buddy all the while is oblivious because he just thinks the guy's like running late because he forgot his wallet or something. I don't know. It's like a series of texts. It's pretty funny because you're so consumed with college basketball. That would be the end of my friendship if someone was too busy watching basketball to answer my texts, my urgent texts of how I was in jail. That'd be the end. That'd be done. We'd be done. All right. The game that I want to preview, because you heard the word Cinderella. We've got some Cinderella stories already in this NCAA tournament. March Madness has been all kinds of nutty. Well, what about Lipscomb? What if the Lipscomb men's basketball team. They're called the Bisons, not Bison, Bisons, as a 15 seed, could upset North Carolina. It's not unheard of. We've never had a 16 over a 1. We have had a 15 over a 2 on multiple occasions. I know this is a game that's going on in Charlotte. But this is the first time the Bisons have ever made the NCAA field of 68. They were former NAIA champions back in the 60s. But it's their first time on the big dance, on the big stage. So you want a Cinderella? Uh-huh. Lipscomb out of the Atlantic Sun taking on the defending national champ in North Carolina. I'm going all in Cinderella. I mean, I didn't pick Cinderella, but I'm rooting for Cinderella. That's the idea. You want to root, but you don't want to pick them in your bracket. That's the strategy. 855-212-4227. Bush is listening in California. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious, I haven't seen that LeBron video. Did he get fouled on it?
That's a good question. I don't remember. I don't think so, though, because he rose up and went clear over the top of Nurkic, so I don't think so.
Because I was just curious, because he seems to campaign for fouls.
Well, he can't campaign flying through the air. He didn't need to campaign. That dunk spoke volumes all by itself.
I'll have to take a look. So as far as filling out brackets go, a friend of mine, Rhino, and me and a few other people, we all have, you know, a league bracket, and I've tried to be heavily invested in the college basketball season before March, and that has never done me any well. And but flipping a coin, I mean, I don't have any fancy coins like, you know, they did for the draft picks, like the 49er and the Raiders on both sides. I'd choose heads and tails, tails being the underdog. And that actually was the best bracket I had ever.
Figures. It figures. That's the idea. I mean, I would agree that the more you try to be logical and the more you attempt to apply what you know of college basketball, the more you attempt to use intelligent reason, the worse it gets. I mean, that's why. That's why when I was in high school and I didn't know anything at all about college hoops other than I wanted to play, I ended up winning a bracket. I was the only girl in the bracket, right? And I ended up winning the bracket. That's why my niece, who has been filling out brackets since she was 11 as part of our family challenges, she's won more than once. And she picks straight chalk. She doesn't overthink it. She just picks all the top seeds and boom, ends up winning.
Well, your Cinderella, you said that they're a herd of buffaloes?
No, they're bisons.
Or bisons?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a herd of bisons? They don't budge.
I sure have. Yes, they're pretty happy. They don't move until they want to because they don't have to.
They're not. I'm thinking that's a good Cinderella. They're not going to budge.
Cinderella has to budge. She has to go chase the glass slipper.
Okay. All right, okay. You got me on that one.
All right. All right, Bush. Well, I hope the flipping of the coin works for you.
So far, it hasn't.
But thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate your phone call from California.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
Wasn't the whole point of that to say that flipping the coin was a more effective way to fill out a bracket? And then I was trying to come up with some witty way to end the phone call on a positive note. Hope it works out for you. Well, so far it hasn't. Well, thank you for taking us on that journey.
Unfortunately, there are no right answers. You know, I wish there was. Man, if the coin flip method worked, that'd be one less thing to worry
about.
Susan
B. Anthony? Yeah, a silver dollar?
I don't think the specific coin.
A hay penny?
A euro? I don't think any of those things.
It might.
Peso.
I'll bring you some Cuban money, and you can you can try that and see if it's better. I'm going to assume that the Cubans would not pick Arizona to win the national championship. I'm almost done. I mean, we only have a couple minutes left in the show, and I'll never bring it up again. It'll be fun.
Oh no, I'm happy. Again, I have no problem with it. I'm gonna watch 12 hours of basketball today without looking at my bracket once, and I'm free. The rest of you guys are imprisoned. I'm free as a birdie.
Free. Oh, I like it. Free as a birdie. All right, Kirk Cousins introduced in Minneapolis. He says this is more than he could ever ask or think or want, ever have dreamed up. And he tried to tell you all that it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the 3 years and $84 million. It was about where he could go to win. And so now that he's got that guaranteed money, now, of course, he can focus on the task at hand.
I can't win the Super Bowl today. Okay, I can do a press conference to talk about a contract and then go from there. So, what I'm looking forward to is getting to know teammates over the next few weeks, reaching out to them, building relationships, hopefully being able to spend some time with them and then get to work April 16th with the organization. That's where my focus lies. And from there, we'll build and hopefully be able to have those conversations down the road.
I like the fact that Cooper made a cameo. Not quite as vocal as Riley. Remember Riley Curry back that first run to the NBA championship for the Golden State Warriors. Steph's daughter is his older daughter. I mean, I thought it was adorable. We still have some Riley drops, don't we? Because I was constantly wanting
it's
to
entertaining basketball,
to play
but
them.
we're both supposed to you know.
That's too loud, Daddy.
I know. Hold on 1 second. Okay?
Be quiet. yeah, that was cute. So Cooper can't vocalize his concerns yet like Riley can, but he was weighing in there. So it really neat to see Kirk this happy. Why not? The last couple of years, he's made a lot of money, sure, but he's had no job security. It's been a nonstop stream of questions about where were you going to sign and have you had any conversations about your contract and do you want to remain with the Redskins and what's the holdup? And now he finally has not only the 3-year deal and the money, but he believes he's in a spot where he can, in fact, win a Super Bowl. And really neat picture that he posted on Instagram of his family, his parents, his wife, Cooper, and him standing at midfield in Minneapolis yesterday after they did their press conference, and he was grinning from ear to ear, of course. Alex Smith doing the same thing, and I'm not sure if you saw this, but the Redskins had a busload of their employees from FedEx Field that showed up to greet Alex Smith and his wife, to welcome them, and Alex and his wife stood there and shook hands and spoke to every single employee that got off that bus that works for the Redskins to say, we're glad to be here. So according to Doug Williams in Washington, Smith actually chose the Redskins, not the other way around. This is where he wanted to be. He says being a Redskin feels great because they're all about winning. Jordy Nelson ends up with the Raiders. In fact, he doesn't make any other visits, so that was a big deal, too. Now maybe Michael Crabtree will land in Baltimore. A lot that will happen over the weekend. We'll be back Sunday night. It'll be jam-packed. Enjoy your March Madness and your NFL New Year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.